Morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call Senate Finance Committee to order. It's 9 a.m. by our good old clock, January 30th, 2009. Senator Hoffman has been called out of Juneau. He'll be back shortly, but he'll be missing the meeting today. We have Senator Ellis and Senator Olson.
Morning, Mr. Chairman.
Morning, Senator Elton, Senator Thomas. We're also missing Senator Huggins. He may show up a little later. Myself, Senator Stedman. We have one issue on the agenda today, and we're going to try to finish up by 10 o'clock. Here comes Senator Huggins. The Department of Revenue is going to give the committee a presentation on commercial passenger vessel excise tax, more commonly known as a cruise ship head tax, that we refer to it at the table. We've had the similar presentations in the beginning of last year's 07 cruise season. There are several elements of the tax, and there's limitations on how the revenues can be spent, and it gets kind of almost convoluted when we get first introduced to it. So we'll go through and lay down a bunch of background for those that are at home that are watching the meeting to give them the background on this issue, and then as we work forward into through last year's capital budget and into this year's capital budget, we can put the pieces together. We appropriated funds for the first time last year, and as members will recall, we've spent quite a bit of time working through that process and coming up with a balance that everybody was comfortable with, and we moved it forward into the capital appropriation process, which was substantially altered on its final signing by the administration. We have another full cruise ship season behind us, which is probably going to be a little different than the one in front of us, but we do have a season behind us, and we're going to start this process today. We're going to, unfortunately, we don't have the OMB director with us today. She was called to Anchorage. So we have Joanna Bales here to walk through the nuts and bolts of this. We'll have some questions that are really pertinent to the OMB director, and we'll kind of lay that stuff out on the table as we go through the meeting. So next week when we do the budget review of the 010 with the OMB director and start that process in the appropriate time there, we will then go into the questions we have for the OMB director dealing with this particular issue. And with that, I'd like to welcome Ms. Bales to the committee, and if she could introduce herself for the record and who she represents. She has a presentation she will give, and then after the presentation, I'm sure we'll have a discussion on some of the nuts and bolts, and then we'll talk a little bit about what we'd like the OMB director to come back with.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Joanna Bales. I'm the Deputy Director of the Tax Division, which is within the Department of Revenue. So today we will go over some of the historical aspects of the commercial passenger vessel excise tax, which is quite a mouthful. Sometimes I'll call it the CPV or the cruise ship head tax just to move things along. But wait a minute, they told me how to do this and I've already messed up, so. Okay. What I'd like to do is, I mean, as all of you are probably aware, this tax, along with other provisions, the head tax, gambling tax, was initiated through a public initiative process. And it took effect on December 17th of 2006. There were several aspects of that initiative. I'm going to talk here today about the revenue provisions. I did put some information about the other provisions, but that's just for you to peruse later at your leisure. As far as the revenue provisions go, the initiative imposed a $46 commercial passenger vessel excise tax on large cruise ship passengers. And basically that's the large cruise ships are those that have over 250 berths. It also levies a tax at the rate of 33% of adjusted gross income on cruise ship gambling activities that are conducted in Alaska's waters. It subjects the cruise ship companies to Alaska's corporate net income tax, and I'll go over that a little bit just to talk about why they weren't taxed in the past and how they're taxed now. And then it also assesses a $4 per passenger, what's called an Ocean Ranger fee, that is administered by the Department of Environmental Conservation. This is the other provisions that I talked about, and I'm not going to go into those. Again, this information is just here for you to look at later. We all talk about the cruise ship head tax of being $50 per passenger. That is made up of the $46 commercial passenger vessel excise tax, which is administered by my office, and the Ocean Ranger fee of $4. That's where the $50 comes up. What the Department of Revenue is responsible to do is we administer and collect the corporate net income tax we have for years, and now, of course, that the cruise ships are subject to that, we administer that portion of this initiative as well. We also collect the 33% the gambling tax. We collect and administer the $46 commercial passenger vessel excise tax, again, commonly called the cruise ship head tax. It's easier for people to remember. And then we account for and we disperse those proceeds from those accounts as directed by the legislature through capital and operating budgets. And we also draft the regulations covering all these tax types.
If we could just stop there.
Yes.
In the audience, can you hear in the back? Is the volume up enough? It seems a little quiet. If you go ahead and continue, please.
Okay. I'm going to talk briefly here about the corporate net income tax. I mean, Alaska's had a corporate income tax for years, but foreign flagged vessels, which the cruise ships generally are, were exempt from federal income tax under a federal provision which Alaska adopted. And because we adopted that provision, the foreign flagged vessels were exempt from Alaska's corporate income tax for years. The initiative change that so we no longer adopt the federal provision. So all vessels, not just cruise ships, but all vessels that are foreign flagged are subject now to Alaska's corporate income tax. The money collected on the corporate income tax side is deposited in the general fund. I say here that there's no current estimate of revenues. We did have a filing last year from the cruise ship companies. It's difficult for us to, I mean, we know how much was paid last year. We can't disclose that due to confidentiality because there were so few taxpayers that we have lumped. Whenever we give revenue estimations on that, we just lump them into the tourism industry. So that being said, we'll move on. But the first tax returns were due and were filed on April 15th of 2008. The money that is, like I said, it goes into the general fund, so there's no revenue sharing with municipalities, and we did adopt regulations, and they were effective in October of 2007. Then we administer and collect the 33% cruise ship gambling tax. We did draft regulations that were adopted effective April 11th last year, and the gambling tax is imposed on adjusted gross income from activities conducted in Alaska waters. So our regulations focused on how the cruise ship companies needed to do that calculation. And what we came up with was an allocation method, and so that they don't have to keep track of their actual net income for games conducted while in Alaska waters. This allows them to look at their voyage as a whole and then do an allocation of how much time was spent in Alaska waters versus outside Alaska waters. So, and the adjusted gross income is their gross gambling less the prizes paid, less their federal or other municipal taxes paid on the income. So it is basically just a gross income less prizes, and then they have to pay 33% tax on that. As I said, the annual returns were due April 15th, and we did have filings at that time. Now, the revenue from the gambling tax is deposited into the commercial vessel passenger tax account, which is a sub-account of the general fund. And the significance of that, I'll talk about that in a few minutes. We also administer and collect the $46 head tax. It is levied on the cruise ship passenger. It's levied per voyage. It's paid by the cruise ship operator or owner. They are responsible to collect it from the passenger and then remit it to us. It is a monthly filing. It's, if you have a May voyage, you are required to remit the tax to us by the end of June. So the tax is due by the end of the following month after the specific voyage ended. A voyage is defined as one that lasts longer than 72 hours. So if you have a voyage that's less than that, there is no tax. As part of the filing, the cruise ship companies must report to us the number of passengers at each Alaska port of call, and we require this information for revenue sharing.
Senator Elton, you have a question?
Is it appropriate to ask questions now, or should we wait until the end?
We could do that. I think this presentation will go fairly fast, but if, yeah, that'd be fine, I guess.
Wait until the end, or do it.
Go ahead and ask your question.
Thanks. Could we go back to the previous slide?
Maybe. There.
Okay, I just want to make it clear. I mean, when we're talking about the head tax,
yes.
The second bullet point says it's paid by the cruise ship owner or operator. And I want to make it clear, perhaps have you make it clear. It's paid by the cruise ship owner, but it's collected from the passenger. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So I guess I would just encourage everybody in the notion that language like that can be confusing,
right?
Because it makes it seem as if it is being assessed against the cruise ship owner instead of being added to the ticket price that is given to the passenger.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, if you look at the first bullet, it does say it's levied on the cruise ship passenger. And then when I say paid, it's remitted to us. And remit would probably be a better word.
Right.
So, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
No, thank you. Please continue.
And then one of our other responsibilities I mentioned was that we account for and disperse the proceeds of this tax as directed through the budgeting process. And just one of the things to note is the commercial passenger vessel excise tax at $46 is accounted for us in two separate funds. Both of these funds are sub-accounts of the general fund. 75% of that $46 goes to the commercial vessel passenger tax account. The other 25% goes to what's called the Regional Cruise Ship Impact Fund, or so it's $34.50 per person, $11.50 per person in the Regional Cruise Ship Impact Fund. And again, these are kind of important because when we talk about how the money is dispersed here in a moment, that's why we need to account for these in separate funds. For the last two cruise ship seasons, I've given you a breakout here that shows the total revenue that was collected. There are approximately 1 million passengers each year. In 2008, we did have a slight increase in passengers. Therefore, revenue went up slightly as well. So a little over $46 million each year, $35 million into the commercial vessel passenger tax account, $11.5 million into the Regional Cruise Ship Impact Fund, as we projected initially. In case you're interested, this shows revenues collected by month. This is really here just for some additional information. It is interesting to note, at least I found it interesting, that we actually have some cruise ship sailings in October. So, but there are just a few, so I lumped those into the month of September. So this is just a quick pie chart, shows the 25% split for 2007, $46.3 million. 2008, approximately the same amount, a little bit more. Again, the 75-25% split. Now what I've done here is projected what will happen in 2009. This projection comes from our revenue sources book. It was put together by our economist. It is based on previous revenues that we've collected. Now, we all know with the economic downturn in our economy, it's hard to really say what this next season will do. But the reason that I put this on here, you'll see in a moment, has to deal with the appropriations, not only the appropriations that were made in fiscal year 09, but the projected appropriations in the governor's capital and operating budgets for 2010. So if you take a look at adding all those together, If this cruise ship season turns out to be like it was in the past 2 years, we would have collected close to $140 million in commercial passenger vessel excise tax, and it will be split between these two accounts, as indicated, about $35 million in the impact fund, almost $105 million in the CVP tax account. Now, the importance of that is all the money that goes to the CVP, or the commercial vessel passenger tax account, it's outlined in the statute. There are guidelines on how that money should be spent. The first disbursement that we make is to what we call the first five ports of call rule. Those communities that are along are one of the first five ports of call, we do revenue share with those communities. And there are some additional guidelines on how we share. The gambling tax revenue is also deposited into this account. Now, when you looked at the projections that I gave, I did not identify the gambling tax revenue. I didn't include that in the $105 million. And the reason for that is there are some, and I think most of us in this room are aware of it, there are some federal constitutional provisions that necessitate us separating even the money that we receive from gambling tax, because we don't have constitutional restrictions on spending that money, but there could be constitutional restrictions on spending the money in the commercial vessel passenger tax account that came from the head tax itself. So we are very careful of segregating and accounting for those monies separately. What the statute says and provides as a guideline, because all this money is in a subaccount of the general fund, is that the money should be used for state-owned port and harbor facilities and just other projects that enhance cruise ship visitation into the state of Alaska. It also talks specifically about other lawful purposes, and that's where that constitutional issues do come into play. Under the first five ports of call, like I said, we share $5 per passenger. That's why the cruise ships are required to tell us how many passengers visit each port of call. We do have a definition of a port of call. It must be a municipality or a borough. The passengers must get off the vessel. Either they get on to the ship at that port of call or they get off. The ship itself doesn't have to dock, but if they weigh anchor out in the waters and then they lighter their passengers into that port, that would be determined considered to be a port of call as well. That particular municipality or borough cannot have its own passenger tax. If it does, it doesn't meet the definition of a port of call, and we don't share with that community. If a borough is not unified with the city, then our disbursement would be $2.50 per passenger to the borough and $2.50 per passenger to the city. If they're unified, then it's just $5 for that jurisdiction. If a community receives money under the port of call rule, they can't also receive funds from the Regional Cruise Ship Impact Fund. That is the guidance that was given in the statute.
Could you repeat that, please?
That if a community receives money, if they are a first five port of call and they receive revenue from us, revenue sharing, the money that's deposited into the Regional Cruise Ship Impact Fund, that $11 million per year, that community cannot receive money under that fund. There are provisions where communities can receive money from the Regional Cruise Ship Impact Fund, but not a community that received money under the first five ports of call rule. Now, as far as revenue sharing, we did have appropriations back in the 2008 operating budget. We were told to appropriate that money to the first five ports of call. We made two disbursements because the way it was written initially was that we shared fiscal year revenues, and then it was changed to calendar year so we could share the entire cruise ship season, because the cruise ship seasons do span two state fiscal years. So we did make two disbursements so that we have dispersed the entire amount from the 2007 cruise ship season. We made a disbursement in December of 07 and then in June of 08. We also, in the 2009 budget, there was an appropriation for us to make do the revenue sharing for the 2008 cruise ship season. We did calculate that. The approval was made last week. Those communities should be receiving that money, should have received it this week, may be receiving it as I speak right now, but they should have that money by the end of this week or early next week. This slide here shows what we have shared with those communities from the 2007 and 2008 cruise ship season. So as you can see, I mean, there were a few changes in the ports of call. For instance, Homer, Valdez, and Wrangell had no visitations in 07, but there were visitations in 08, so we did share with those communities. Another interesting thing to note here is you'll see that the Ketchikan Borough also received money. The sharing that they received was $2.50 per passenger. The rest of these communities are $5 per passenger, except for if you show, I think it's Kenai Peninsula, and then Homer and Seward, those disbursements are $2.50 per passenger because of the fact that those cities are not unified with the borough within which they sit. So, but this is the information, and these are the disbursements that we have made.
Could you, if you could, please repeat those towns?
The ones that were, it's $2.50?
Yes.
It would be Homer, Seward. They would get $2.50 per person because they are not unified with the Kenai Peninsula borough, but the borough itself received $2.50. Also, it would be Ketchikan, and if you can see, the city of Ketchikan is not on here. The city of Ketchikan has its own passenger tax, so they cannot participate in the revenue sharing. But since the borough is not unified with the city, the borough does get the $2.50 per passenger.
Senator Elton, did Juno disappear?
It did, but I had a question on another community, Mr. Okay, Chair. Could you discuss just briefly for the committee and explain kind of the difference? There is a community on the list that is significantly different than the other communities that are listed, and that's Huna, where the port is a private port and where passengers are discharged offshore and at the private facility. Could you discuss just very briefly, you know, how the department handled that when it came to making a decision to disburse monies to that?
Okay. Community? Yes, that's a good question, and we did look at that pretty closely. And if you look at the statute, it talks about the port and part of a municipality. So that private dock is located within the city limits or the municipal limits of Huna. So Huna itself, we talked with Department of Law and made the decision that they would qualify to share, that they were affected by those cruise ship passengers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Please continue.
I'm going to just talk more. I mean, we talked about the first five ports of call, how we share, and that's been approximately $10 million for the last two seasons. And if things go as planned and the economy doesn't hurt us too much, we would expect to share the same $10 million from the 2009 season. The remaining revenue that sits in that account after we do the sharing, it's not shared with communities, but those funds then can be used by the state for state projects that enhance cruise ship visitation. And it can be used for state projects in specific communities, which makes perfect sense. And again, an appropriation is required by the legislature to do this. This slide, what this represents right here is the total revenues that will be deposited, again, based on that $46.8 million projection for this upcoming cruise ship season. And the reason that I included that is because of the appropriations that are in the governor's 2010 capital budget. But basically, if you look at the $105 million that sits in the commercial passenger vessel tax account, you'll see that we have the $10 million for the 2007 cruise ship season that we shared with communities, approximately $10 million in '08 as well. The projection for '09, another $10 million to the community that will be appropriated and spent. There were appropriations in the 2009 budget of approximately $15 million. That appropriation was made to the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development for municipal grants, and there are some specific projects that deal with cruise ship visitation in that appropriation. If you take a look at the proposed 2010 capital budget, there is another $39 million that is proposed to be spent for capital projects. And again, and that there's a split there between DCCED and the Department of Transportation for projects in the port communities. And if all of this actually happens, the 2010 appropriations, there will be approximately $20 million unappropriated remaining in that account for future appropriations. All right, now I'm going to talk a little bit about the Regional Cruise Ship Impact Fund. As I mentioned, 25% of the $46 goes into that fund each year. Again, disbursements must be appropriated by the legislator. The way the statute reads is that the funds can only go to municipalities or other governmental entities that are impacted by cruise ship activity. It's still debate out there as to what that actually means. So there really hasn't been too much. I'll show you in a second here what we have, what's been appropriated, but currently that money pretty much is sitting there until, you know, a decision is made on how to spend that and what an impacted community actually means.
Senator Thomas.
That's thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's the question I guess I had, and was answered partially by the report that shows that none has been expended anywhere other than on coastal regions. And I guess the confusion is, or the reason for that is, what is the definition of cruise ship activity may be the reason. But when the initiative passed, people in my particular district felt that would be, in fact, expended in areas other than along the coast. It's a little harder to see the impact because when you're standing in downtown Juneau and there's five ships sitting there or four, it's very easy to see the impact. But we get at least conservative 50 to 60% of the cruise ship tourists that come to the state pass through at least our area. My district in particular containing Denali National Park. So we anticipated that some of that money would be expended for those purposes and did in fact put in for some projects, and at least on here one is shown as vetoed. Is there how long do you expect to work out those kind of details, or how can we help you along to work out what the impacted what is appropriate use of funds for those types of for the impact funds? There's some kind of concept you have at this point in time?
Yeah, Senator Thomas. I mean, well, within Department of Revenue, we collect and disperse as directed. I have been privy to some conversations about the spending, and I know that one of the cautions, and I mean, I think all of us are aware, are those constitutional provisions, the Commerce Clause, the potential tonnage clause under the federal constitution. So I think everyone, the governor's office and the legislature, has been moving forward with caution. But really, that'd probably be a question for OMB.
So I'd like to go ahead and add a little bit to that. We last year spent a lot of time discussing this at the table and also at the staff level, working out how we're going to handle the distribution of the appropriation of these funds. Both Anchorage and Fairbanks, one at 3.6 and one at 3.5 million, were in the capital budget for appropriations. They were both vetoed, both marked low priority. They weren't marked constitutional issues or any other thing. So we'll have that discussion with the OMB director. But clearly the funds were available, and I guess we need to have that type of a discussion. Also, when we worked on this particular issue, we looked at where the tourist or the visitors' impacts around the state are, And it is very difficult, if not impossible, to put forward an argument that, as Senator Thomas has stated, that the visitors coming up through the coastal communities don't impact Fairbanks and don't impact Anchorage. So, you know, when we have our budgetary discussion coming up with the OMB director, you know, we'll have that discussion of how we're going to treat fairly Anchorage and Fairbanks. And we also have a couple other glitches, but Senator Elton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just I just want to clarify something that I think is obvious, that when we're talking about this $11.6 million that you estimate is going to be available for appropriation, and when the rule is that the funds cannot go to communities receiving revenue under the first five ports of call, what you're essentially saying is that you can appropriate from this component to the city of Ketchikan and the city of Juneau because they are not one of the first five ports of call on your list, even though they are usually one of the first five ports of call. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Senator Elton, that's an excellent question. And, you know, I like I said, I think we're all still struggling with this. I've had questions from other representatives as well that have asked me about, for instance, if you are a first five port of call and you receive visitors directly by boat, but then you also have visitors that come in, say they're bused in, from another community as well, would that preclude you from receiving revenue under this? And I mean, those are all very good questions, and I think those are questions that need to be resolved, not necessarily by the Department of Revenue. As I said, I mean, we account for those funds, we disperse as directed, we collect and administer the tax, and we're available to help when it comes to the disbursement part, but I mean, those are questions for the Department of Law and probably for the Governor's Office as well, and they are excellent questions.
I would just note for the record that it seems unfair to the city of Ketchikan and the city of Juneau to be excluded from in one section and not be able to take advantage of this pot of money. It seems to me that's just inconsistent. Mm-hmm. If they're not called one of the first five ports of call, then clearly it seems to me, and my office would be willing to work with you and whoever to help clarify that, and perhaps we can work with the senator from Sitka and Ketchikan also.
And for those that are watching at home that aren't familiar with the visitors in the different communities, Ketchikan, Juneau, and Skagway are by far the biggest communities with the number of cruise ships and passengers. Mortgage facilities and on down the line. So we'll work on that as we go forward because that is an issue that we need to deal with. Senator Huggins.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me just review the bidding. There were two line items in this fund that were vetoed, is that correct, in the last budget cycle?
I believe so. I do have a copy of that budget.
Incorrect. There's nine total that were vetoed, $18.3 million. And the list of the reasons was consider in future or low priority. And then one was at reduced funding, 500 cut in half to 250.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I would enjoy what the rationale of that was. And I mean, I think in all fairness to the people of Alaska, that we should not repeat those kind of iterations because this is something that people voted on. This is revenue derived from that. And if there's some misunderstanding, I'd like it clarified in my mind so that whatever we do, Mr. Chairman, makes sense and the people get the benefit of what they voted for. Period.
Okay, Senator. Yeah, I will make sure that the Governor's office is aware of your concerns.
There was discussion last year with the Department of Law. There were some legal issues. They wanted the money appropriated, and the administration directed us to appropriate it. And we went through the public process at this table and in the other bodies' finance table. We worked out what the bodies thought was agreed on was a fair process. We appropriated the funds, which left a balance of a couple million or 3 million or so extra in the accounts that we did not appropriate. And we went through the appropriation process, and then the results came back with 18.3 million removed. So we'll have that discussion with the OMB director, but maybe you could pass that information on to her so she's ready with a response when she comes before us in her budget presentation. Also, we'd like to know when these items were listed as low priority, when there's ample funds, of course, why weren't they the appropriation followed through, and in and when they were listed as considered in the future, how far in the future? Are we talking about the next supplemental budget? Or are we talking about several years into the future? So we, as Senator Huggins alluded to, don't have to go through this type of a process that consumes an immense amount of the finance committee members' time and doesn't provide a fruitful output. Senator Elton.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. And just sometimes I think committee hearings like this are therapeutic because they allow you to vent for just a moment. And so with your indulgence, I guess I want people to understand that low priority was the terminology that came from the executive. It was not, it says nothing about the priorities that this body and the other body went through in the appropriations project. So low priority isn't our term. And I would just note as a specific is I'm especially offended that somebody somewhere determined that they, you know, would at some point in the future maybe revisit the issue, because I can tell you that the Centennial Hall Cruise Passenger Emergency Relief Center was extremely important, ought to have been done soon, and I would just use as the rationale for what I've just said is there was a cruise ship that went on the rocks 30 miles west of Juneau, and that Centennial Hall was the emergency relief center, and so we'd had experience with that. So kind of two points I'm making, I guess. It was determined to be low priority, not by us. I mean, I think we considered it, we considered these projects high priority and went through a very difficult process where we told no to dozens and dozens of people for every one person that we said yes to. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to.
I'd just like to make another quick comment. You know, to add to Senator Elton, as we speak here today, we have a vessel, a ferry, the Latuya, with no passengers on it. It broke loose from its mooring, but it's sitting on the beach as we speak. So we do have, on occasions, marine accidents. We try to avoid them, but we need to have our communities situated so we can respond in an adequate fashion. But we'll take up that with I know you're the nuts and bolts lady.
Well, I will at the governor's office and OMB specifically, and I'll make them aware of your concerns about this, definitely.
If you can continue with your presentation. Thank you.
Okay, and here this slide very very vividly shows that, yes, we have made very minor appropriations from the Regional Cruise Ship Impact Fund. We expect after this cruise ship season that there would be almost $35 million in this account, and there was one appropriation to Department of Transportation in 09, and I don't know exactly what that appropriation was for. I do know it went to Department of Transportation. Then we'll talk a little bit about the gambling tax again. As I said, the first returns were filed April 15th, 08. We received $6.8 million in revenue. We project that we'll receive approximately the same amount for the next couple of years. Again, that money was deposited into the commercial vessel passenger tax account. However, unlike the head tax, there are no constitutional restrictions on how this money can be spent. So that's why we do account for this separately. There aren't the same issues associated with this money. So this pie chart just shows the money that we will hopefully receive after the 2009 cruise ship season, approximately $20 million from this particular tax type. Here are the appropriations that are projected for fiscal year 2010. There are approximately $12 million in appropriations, leaving $8.4 million unappropriated. Again, we don't have the same constitutional issues with this money. Although it is in that commercial vessel passenger tax account, which does have within the statute, you know, some guidelines on how it should be spent. And that is the end of the presentation, so I'm happy to entertain further questions.
Any other questions? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for your presentation. The question about the money that's not appropriated is sitting in a fund, is it generating any additional revenue?
That would be a question for OMB. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if it is invested or what happens there.
That's extremely important. Mm-hmm. When we look at the inflationary cycle we're in, and we're just, on one hand, we can't figure it out. And I remind all of us, this is going into the third year. And if we as a bureaucracy in 3 years can't come to a solution to how to distribute the funds, shame on us, replace all of us, period. Thank you.
Senator Allen.
Thanks. And I also had a question, Ms. Bales. And I appreciate your presentation. It was very clear and it was very precise. And so this question, I think, is probably less for you, but as you're passing back some of the questions that have been asked here, perhaps you could do that. The last slide before this one, it shows what Senator Huggins referred to, the amount of money that's unappropriated. It would be interesting to know from the executive branch whether or not their desire is to only spend $12 million or whether they have left $8.4 million from this fund available for legislative prioritization.
Okay, I will find that out as well.
And if you could, Joanna, find out the communities that applied for appropriation consideration and what communities have impacts that did not apply and what kind of process the administration has so the communities that do qualify realize it and know to apply to the state for appropriations.
Okay, I will do that. These are all very good questions. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then we also have, if I could, which kind of alludes to, again, Senator Huggins' concern, there was some challenges in the 08 appropriating cycle with the department's authority for the revenue sharing payments to the communities and the timing of the payments. And we attempted to fix those, and I'm not so sure in the 09 budget we had fixed them. So if you could have maybe some contact with my office before the OMB presentation, we can kind of sort through that a little bit and make the questions and responses more on point. And
okay, so you're asking whether or not we can do something so that the revenue sharing would be sooner than say, December or January of each year?
Correct.
Okay. And that actually does lie in our office, and it ties in with the reconciliation of our accounts at the end of the year, which usually we don't have our final reconciliations until October or November, and that's why the revenue sharing comes at that time. But we will work on trying to get that done sooner for the communities.
Okay. We have other questions, presenter? Well, Ms. Bales, thank you for coming in today, and I know it's probably not as fun to not have your OMB director with you to lob the harder questions over to her, but we do appreciate you coming in, and we'll work with your department on getting the answers back to the committee, and look forward for the OMB director, Ms. Rayfield, coming forward and helping the finance committee understand the process from the administration point of view, so we have a smoother operation going forward.
And, thank you.
Is there anybody in the audience that would like to come forward? And we have about 5 minutes left. If they have any brief comments, you could come forward, please. We're finishing a little early, and I noticed that there's a dozen or so people in the audience. If you can identify yourself for the record and who you represent, and then.
For the record, I'm Philip Oates, the city manager of Seward, and I would just like to endorse every comment I've heard at this end of the table. I would also like to question as well the statement I read that funds cannot go to the communities receiving revenue under the first five ports of call rule. And as you correctly stated, we all worked very hard last year. And my greatest frustration is not receiving the feedback of why projects were taken off the list. It makes it very difficult to know how to proceed ahead if you don't understand the rationale for the executive branch decisions. So thank you very much.
Before you run away, if I could, please. You're the city manager of the city of Seward?
Yes, sir.
You have the proud distinction of being the top veto. Sure.
Yeah.
Seward dredging, cruise ship, berthing, basins, and approaches. $4.5 million. Consider in the future, are you still interested in an appropriation to help you with that dredging, or have you?
Absolutely. And in fact, it fits ideally the federal language on how this money could be used. It was directly benefit to the cruise ships that are coming to Seward. It was an essential project to cover the Millennium-sized vessels were currently, or at least by last year, there was about a foot and a half of clearance between at the lowest tide, the keel of the ship and the floor of the bay. So, it's an essential project that if it's not done, those cruise ships could conceivably stop coming to Seward.
Okay. Well, thank you for your testimony.
And thank you to all of you. Great questions.
We have any other? Okay, with that, we're going to go on to close the meeting tomorrow. Excuse me, not tomorrow. Tuesday, next Tuesday. Normally, we have Finance Committee on Monday. We've got some logistical issues, so we are going to have it on 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning. We're going to resume with the economic stimulus resolution. We're going to have SB 88, power cost equalization, which we're all familiar with and have worked on, and we'll continue to work on that. Then we're going to go on to kind of three related items, Senate Joint Resolution Number 5, Senate Bill 89, and Senate Bill 90, three bills dealing with retirement benefit for the Territorial Guard, which has been in the paper, and we're responding to that as quickly as we can here for our citizens. Anyway, I encourage people around the state to tune in to Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. for Senate Finance. We'll see everybody back here Tuesday morning. This meeting is adjourned.